Geek News Central, show number 611 for September 17th, 2010. Geek News Central is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, Citrix GoToMeeting, and Infusionsoft.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, folks, I got coverage tonight on Samsung, a company to watch. Is Twitter all that? Your name is a trademark. And the new Twitter.com, and do you care about your followers? Everyone, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. We got a live show coming for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Oahu. Hey, just as the intro was running there, I was running through the website because I forgot to load a couple of documents. That always happens. Well, it doesn't always happen, but it happens once in a while. And I hate it when that happens because then what I end up doing is as we're starting the show, then I'm over here clicking on some buttons. You guys can hear that in the background, right? Me clicking through. And what I'm loading is the advertising talking points. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, you're tuned into the Geek News Central podcast. I encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. And that'll get you connected to all the content that I have. Starting to, got to get back into the site and make a little bit of an update to it to really add the morning show link so that you guys will be able to tie into that real easy whenever you come to the website. But that is a future project. Matter of fact, Sam Garcia, our longtime listener and part of the Ohana that's out of Albuquerque, he had configured and designed a brand new, basically live page for the show. And finally today this week, I'd been working with Brian. We've tweaked that design a little bit, and it's been handed off to Angelo. Angelo's going to code up the live site. So I'm hoping that by the time the new TriCaster gets here, we'll be ready to put up live.geeknewscentral.com. But for now, it's geeknewscentral.com/live. For those of you that are watching either on Ustream or on Justin.tv, but for the rest of you, if you're, of course, listening via download a podcast, if you are watching on the Roku or Boxy, I want to welcome you to the show. Of course, however you're watching, the main thing is that you are. But more importantly, you'll want to get subscribed to the show. Really, the RSS feed is the gateway to get this show delivered to you automatically. That way, you'll never miss a single episode. So consider subscribing to the show. And really, it's easy to do. You go over to geeknewscentral.com, you'll find the subscribe link on the website, and really bringing that up will have all the information in there that you're going to need. And I was going to bring up the actual page, and you guys can actually see there's just a little orange box there. It says subscribe, blog, podcast, video, special event feed, the morning tech show. Get subscribed to all that stuff, and that you'll never miss any of the content. And you can listen when you want. That's the most important thing. Hey, another thing, too, is get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about in today's show, articles that have been submitted by listeners and viewers like you. And, of course, you can send comments to the show by emailing me at geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at area code 619-342-7365. You can always find the information on how to call the hotline or contact the show by visiting the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, we want to welcome listeners from 170 countries worldwide, and of course, a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners or longtime subscribers of the show. Thanks for being here and being part of the family. I want to remind everyone to definitely check out GoDaddy.com. It's a place where you can pick up domain names super cheap. You can find hosting accounts, whether it be a shared hosting account, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server. Really, GoDaddy has what you need to get started in the web hosting space. And GoDaddy just announced their newest GoDaddy girl. It's Jillian Michaels. She's America's toughest trainer. And I'm not familiar with Jillian, but apparently she's been on some reality shows or something like that. But anyway, she's the newest GoDaddy girl at GoDaddy.com. But you can get domain names at $1.99 by being a new customer over there by using the promo code Geek199. And that's, you know, they've got a special on their website that says domains for $1.99 with a new non-domain purchase. But you don't have to do that with this show. If you're just a new customer and you go over there and use Geek199 and have open a new account, but boom, you get .coms at $1.99. So definitely check them out. Of course, all my promo codes are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can find all the great codes. Todd will save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. ComSale will get you, and ComSale 2 will get you renewals and .coms between $7.99 and $7.49. Again, check them all out. There's a code for every occasion. And share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. Don't know, put them on bulletin boards, write blog posts about them, link back to us, Twitter them, whatever you can do. I will definitely be most appreciative. And of course, if you have a smartphone, you have 24/7 access to GoDaddy with their GoDaddy app. Definitely download that, whether it's your Android, iPhone, or a BlackBerry as well. So check them out. I just want to get you guys really quickly here caught up. Shoko's hand surgery went well on Tuesday. And so far, she's on the mend. She's really susceptible to, and basically all they gave her was a local. They didn't, you know, you don't go under the full anesthesiologist that where they gas you. She actually just got a local, kind of knocked her out, but she still was completely like out of it for like 24 hours. But she's doing good now. She's going back for a check tomorrow on her hand. But so far, so good, and hopefully the trigger finger be gone. We'll know in a couple of weeks really what the status of that is. Of course, I want to give a congratulations. This goes back to my days in the Navy to all the new Navy chiefs. Today was a pinning day, another day, so they got their anchors on their uniforms, and I actually attended a ceremony today. A couple of my friends from years gone past were getting promoted and getting pinned today, so I went to the ceremony. Had a great time catching up with the folks. So congratulations to all the new Navy chiefs in the Navy. So it's a big deal. It really, really is. And for any of you that are familiar with the steeped traditions of the United States Navy, the transition from going from a E6 to an E7 is when you really change uniforms and take on a much wider berth of responsibilities. And that's what it's all about, making that transition from one grade to the next. And it's unlike any other service. And for you know, many of you will have no idea what I'm talking about, but for those of you that do, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But again, congratulations to the new Navy chiefs. All right, the morning tech show is scheduled to go on again, 6 a.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. We're going to have Patrick Lawson on from twosmartguys.com, and we're going to have Esby Larson from Bagel Tech, from the Bagel Tech family of shows. Esby's actually going to be calling in from the UK. So it'll be nice to get a nice UK perspective. So those of you that are actually in the UK, and it's going to be afternoon for you, probably, I think, and it's going to be at 6 a.m. here. I think it's actually 5 in the afternoon in the UK. Don't hold me to that, but I think that's pretty close to the time. You have to do the time translation. But I'm GMT minus 10. So yeah, maybe 4 o'clock. But anyway, the Esby's going to be on. Look forward to having him on. It'll be fun, and we're going to talk about what's been going on in the world of tech, about their shows, and share with you as much information as we can in the time that we do the podcast. So feel free to join us Saturday for that. Of course, our Apple TV giveaway continues. We'll be giving it away on the 27th, the show on the 27th, and this is for new insiders, where you'll get a chance to win an Apple TV, a new and existing insiders, I should say. And I got an email from one of our listeners asking, Todd, if I become an insider, do I get access to all of the old insiders? Absolutely, you sure do. And I've got on tap to do an insider. Again, all the insider content is just kind of an inside look of what's going on here, a more private, a more kind of detailed, in-depth talk of things going on. The first one I did was at my mom's house. The second one I did was here in the studio, kind of talking about strategy, about the show. Haven't fully decided and developed what we're going to talk about it in the third one. But again, it's just kind of a laid back, kickback way to get more information about the show. And for those of you that want to become insiders, you know, it starts at $2 a month or a single donation by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Okay. As well, hey, I got a question for all of you. I got an email earlier in the week from someone here in Honolulu that's running for a political office. And he says, Todd, you know, I know that you don't talk politics on your show. He says, but I'm looking for a public endorsement of a candidate. Would you be willing to endorse so-and-so? And the individual already knew that I don't talk politics on the show, and I don't do politics on the blog. So, you know, I politely declined, even though the candidate that he was referring to, I was supporting. So I guess the question I'm going to ask you guys, those of you that are bloggers, those of you that create content out there, have you been ever asked for a public endorsement, to make endorsement of a, now you got to remember the show here in Hawaii, and I create the show in here in Hawaii, but 99.9% of you that consume the show are not in this state. You know, you're all largely continental United States, with the largest audience share being in Texas. And so it really doesn't make sense for me to make a local endorsement, because it really, you guys don't care, because most of you aren't from Hawaii. And so anyway, just, you know, I just didn't think it was good form. And I actually got an email too from a business associate here in Honolulu, who actually emailed me and said, Todd, please support so-and-so candidate. And I'm thinking to myself, do in this particular candidate, I'm really wasn't at all impressed with. Does that make good business sense as a business person to email business friends and tell them, you know, ask you to support them in voting? I just find it a little weird. I don't think I would ever do that. You know, I would never send an email blast to those of you that are subscribed to the newsletter, which I encourage, of course, all of you to do, to say, hey, vote for candidate X. I just don't, this is not the platform for that. This is not the type of show. And I just don't think in a business sense that I would ever just do that. It just, to me, it's like, huh. I don't know. Have you ever got an email like that? And has it been a candidate that you didn't support? So just kind of just wonder your feedback. It just seemed odd to me. I had never, ever, ever, in the entire time I've been, you know, voting, and because we got a primary coming up on Saturday, I've never had a individual business associate email me and ask me to support a certain candidate, nor have I ever had someone ask me to publicly endorse someone. People in Hawaii generally don't know who I am. Those in the social media source do, social media circle do, but it just, to me, it doesn't make good sense. You just, you know, it's like politics and religion, you just don't talk about that stuff in this type of a setting, right? So anyway, that's it on that. And I just kind of wonder what you guys think, and if you gotten emails like that before. So the email has continued to bounce for our Roku winner, and I think by next show we may reopen up the Roku winner. And my son just waved in the window. He's outside doing a chore. They're off school tomorrow. But anyway, teacher assessment day is, whatever, they need time to do their paperwork. But we may have to re-give the Roku away. I'll let you guys know. Now, on the show editions, I've talked about adding 5 shows to GNC. And what I'm really doing is I'm working on the paperwork. I've got a bunch of you that have applied to be show host, and I'm really working on the paperwork to make sure that I have a legal structure put together to present to each show that makes sense, and it's not like some of the companies have done in the past. But I really want to make sure that we do this right. So I'm, you know, I'm making sure that's all put together. So give me a little more time. Sponsor tweet stuff. You know, I've been trying to get this off the ground for a month, and it's still coming. So we haven't forgot about you. Also, Chris Whipple. Chris, please, please, please email me what you're supposed to be getting from the Ohana store. Have not gotten your order on what you want, okay? So email me that, please, what you want. Hey, if you're going to PodCamp Pittsburgh, which Raw Voice is a sponsor of. Make sure you say hello to Angelo. Angelo will be there at PodCamp Pittsford, and so will Cameron, one of our new employees at Raw Voice. So make sure you say hello to those guys. And, you know, here's the funny thing. You know, we're going to PodCamp Pittsburgh. Raw Voice is a sponsor. And the company that is one of the biggest podcast hosting companies in the space, who is headquartered out of Pittsburgh, has not sponsored PodCamp Pittsburgh. What is up with that? What's up with that? I don't get it. You know, it's come on, guys. Support and give back to the community a little bit. Trying to shame them into cash, putting up some money. How many of you have ever had a software application that you registered and then all of a sudden it keeps telling you it's not registered? We got that going on with a software version of Adobe Edition right now on one of my machines, and I have no idea why it's doing it. I guess I got to call Adobe, but it is not, it's not coming up. Hey, if you're going to be going to Blog World, I'm going to be, of course, I'm going to be a panelist, not a panelist. I've got a session at Blog World, and I was actually going to bring up and talk to you guys. Inadvertently, the prices did go up today for Blog World, if you haven't yet registered. But I want to encourage you to come out because it really is it's a great event. And it's a great time to come out to Vegas and spend a few days and get educated. But what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be doing a session that I'm calling the Triple Play, Streaming, Podcasting, and Blogging as a Way to Accelerate Your Show Growth and Distribution. And the way I've got the session listed here is the session is a must for those that want their shows to evolve and also understand the importance of new content consumption and distribution platforms. Todd will share trade secrets and strategies of podcasting that will be a catalyst to grow your audience. You will learn why streaming your shows, even though you may not want to, is the gateway to over-the-top TV. I will show you how I grew my audience by 150% in 9 months with the Triple Play. And the attendee will learn how content distribution channels like the Roku, Boxy, and coming Google TV is going to grow new media over the next 5 years. And there'll be ample opportunity to ask questions going to be provided as well. So if you want to come out and hear my presentation at Blog World, I encourage you to do so. I will make the presentation available sometime later after the show. It will not come out immediately. To encourage those of you to come out, this is going to be a great session. I've been working on this for a while. Really, it's going to, if it doesn't pack the house, none of them will. It's going to be a really top-notch session, and I look forward for those of you who are going to Blog World to coming out to see it and or to hear my presentation. And of course, Angelo and Brian have a presentation as well on WordPress. So anyway, that's it for just chat stuff here. Let's take care of a little more business, and then we'll get into the regular content here. You guys know I've been working with Infusionsoft, and with this podcast being brought to you in part by Infusionsoft, the leader in marketing automation software for small businesses like mine and maybe even yours. You know, by the end of this show, over 140 new small businesses will be created. And by this time next year, half of those will have failed. If you're a small business owner, you really don't need statistics to understand how hard it is to survive and grow, especially in face of this economy that we're in. Infusionsoft can help. Infusionsoft has helped thousands of companies and really of small businesses grow quickly and profitably through the power of automated follow-up marketing. Infusionsoft can help you too. So if you're struggling to find a better way to grow your business, visit infusionsoft.com/pod1, infusionsoft.com/pod1 to see it in action. Fill out the contact sheet, watch the video, and if it's of interest to you, take advantage of it. If not, no worries, but at least check this company out. They got some pretty cool services out there. All right, let's go ahead and get into the tech. Got a lot of stuff here lined up for you tonight. Let me go ahead here and bounce that out. Still TriCaster. We're still waiting. You guys know how much money I got laid out, right? That's cash is gone. It's paid for and I can't employ this new thing cause it's not here. And my dealer is saying we got our demo unit finally, but we don't know when the new unit's coming and I'm getting horns. And in an age of transparency, no news is not necessarily good news, but the only thing the folks at NewTek are saying is that huge orders, huge backlog. And that is not something I want to hear. I have got a tight schedule between now and the next, within the next 60 days of what has to be accomplished from a production standpoint, getting ready for CES, all some gigs I'm doing here in Hawaii. Gotta have this thing, but they are not coming through. In the beginning of, and so we're hoping, keep our fingers crossed in the next couple of weeks. And Annie McCaskey over at SDR News is getting the studio version that I have down here. He's the one that's going to be taking this TriCaster that I'm on right now, and he's going to be using that in a new studio that he's building. He's actually going into a full blown studio in Elkhart, Indiana, and he's got some really cool stuff going on. I've been talking to Annie almost on a daily basis on really a new business that he's starting, and that's probably the reason why those of you that watch SDRnews.com have not heard too much from Andy. He's been slammed, and really what he's trying to do is, you know, pay his light bill. And so he's working really hard to do that. And so I'm hoping that New Tech comes through and we're able to get this shipped to him by the end of the month, because he really, you know, we were planning on this transition time, and we're almost out of it. And we never expected New Tech to be, you know, 60 plus days late in delivery. But I guess that's the way the ball bounces sometimes. Hey, you guys know I use Twitter every day. Let's talk about an article I wrote on Geek News Central, basically in stating, is Twitter all that? And I'm getting some private emails on this, and some people aren't too happy with a couple of things I said in here. But it basically boils into, let's take that overlay off. And, you know, Twitter has in title on their page, the best way to discover what's new in your world. And I question that. Because I don't know about you guys, but I work, you know, and I don't have time to look at this thing 3 or 4 days. I got a business to run, and, you know, I'll look 3 or 4 times a day. I'll do an update, and I'll try to read back through the latest tweets, but there's really no way I can follow every tweet that's going on. And some have made the argument that because of Twitter and Facebook that RSS is dead, and I think you guys know my position on that. But here's what a lot of luminaries are saying, that really they're getting their news from from Twitter. And I have to wonder if it's because of their position or where they're located. You know, take Robert Scoble. You know, I love Robert. He does some great stuff. And he's been one of these folks on the RSS is dead bandwagon. But he definitely has connections in the Valley, and he has influence, and he has a huge following. He has, like, I don't know what his follower count is, but 50,000 or 100,000 or something like that. And, you know, he says he gets all of his news, all of his tips from his basically from Twitter. But he makes a very interesting comment in an article that he wrote upon the new release of Twitter that I really want to hone in on. He made it clear about the new Twitter design that he could care less about his followers. That's what he said. Now, if you just take that in the context that I just said it, you're going to, you know, kind of jerk back a little bit. But what he really said was that the new design doesn't do enough to improve the functions of list. And this is where I thought, all Robert's doing is using lists. So he has a list of people that he follows. So he gets information from those lists that he has created. So maybe, in fact, his followers follow, but he's not so worried about his followers. I've always taken on the attitude that the followers are just as important as the people I'm following, and often they're the same people. And we all know the volume of chatter on Twitter is staggering and really impossible to keep up with. And but are you guys using List on Twitter to find news? You know, Google Reader still is what builds the majority of this show. And I just, I guess for an instant here, I'm just saying, hey, they haven't really found a way for me to aggregate or syndicate data out of this in a good enough way to make the claim that it's the best way to discover what's new in the world. It's not. I get tidbits of people doing whatever, and you guys get tidbits from me from I'm doing whatever. But I don't think Twitter's tagline is at all accurate. They may want to be, But I think they lack the tools, and we all lack the ability to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. I love using that word. And for those of you that grew up in farming communities and maybe had wheat, you understand. You take some wheat that's been dried, and before it's been run through a sheller or run through a combine, if you take that and you rub that wheat back and forth in your hand, the outside is the chaff and inside is the actual wheat. And the rest of that piece is just throwaway. Well, they don't throw it away, but, that's how you get to the wheat. You get the good stuff, you know. The rest of it is, you know, what protected the actual piece of wheat. So I want a way to separate the wheat from the chaff in Twitter, and I really don't think there's a way. So what are you guys using to really dig down and find the stuff on Twitter? Are you guys using it? Is Twitter all that for you? I'd love to hear your feedback on it. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is 619-342-7365. But again, geeknews@gmail.com. And email me. Tell me what you're using. Good, Suzabelle, longtime listener of the show. She's one of our contributing bloggers as well. And she wrote an article entitled, "Please, Sir, May I Have Some More?" And it basically says, more bandwidth. I want more bandwidth. If I yell, can I get it? No. How can I ask nicely? And I think lots of us yelled and asked nicely. And at this point, we're not getting it. But, I do take exception, Suzabelle, on what they're talking about here on this white space. I don't think with the FCC opening up white space that that's going to help us too much with bandwidth. It may. She's saying that super Wi-Fi should penetrate walls. And remember, you know, TV signals, what the TV signals are, they're designed to go through walls. And that's why you can have a little antenna on your TV and usually get a signal. So those frequencies are easy to penetrate walls because of the frequency they're at. So maybe she's right here and we'll get super Wi-Fi. But she said, I personally can't wait. A wireless signal can go 2 or 3 miles and offer speeds of 10 to 20 megabits to the home or business. No more worries about having to leave fiber, cable, or copper installed. So she says, maybe I consider building the house on top of a mountain in the middle of the nowhere after all. You and me both. I'd love to have a home somewhere that's kind of like remote, but have super speed internet. Can you imagine being having this great vista view and have high speed? Those generally two things don't normally go together. They do in Hawaii, but it's, $20 million. So what do you guys think? Is the white space opening up going to give us more bandwidth? Hey, let's talk just a little bit about NASA news. Crew has been selected for a launch on need shuttle mission. NASA announced Tuesday the crew for a launch on need shuttle for next year that could be converted to an actual additional flight if needed. If something happened, has been designated as STS-335. And it's simply the shuttle that will be used in case it needs to be a rescue mission. We hope that never comes to having to be utilized. But they are going to train up to be the crew on standby. Hey, a report came out on ubergizmo.com talking about 1% of the internet websites are serving malware in the quarter two of 2010. Said about 1 million websites or 1% of the internet were spreading malware or malicious code in the second quarter of this year. This is a very sharp increase. The most popular here's a little pop-up. The most popular attack is done by drive-by download attacks where malicious code gets pushed out. Additionally, most recent vulnerabilities in Sun's Java framework as well as ASP.NET have paid their way for hackers to target web servers. So .coms and .cn, in other words, .china domains were the most notorious out there. Hey, Samsung, boy, oh boy, gosh, you got to applaud these guys. They are ramping it up and kicking butt and taking names. They were serious when they said they were going to spend a lot of money and do a lot of effort to make their mobile media platform really have people take notice. As Samsung promoted its version of the Apple iPad Thursday, which is really called the Galaxy, it's a 7-inch screen that they're going to be offering. It's going to be available. It's a web-connected app, and really it's going to be kind of be a bridge between your TV and do some of the same stuff that the Apple iPad does, which will be priced between $200 and $300. Again, here we go. Web-connected apps for your TV, a web-connected device for on-the-go. The entertainment portal named Media Hub will allow users to rent or purchase content using the Galaxy Tab or Galaxy S smartphones. and it will include TV series like The Office in the event, as well as some Hollywood movies, and of course, applications that come from companies like Raw Voice. So we're working real hard to make sure that we have our webcam, our apps in this platform sooner than later, and we'll keep our fingers crossed on making that happen. But they are just moving and shaking, and I think Samsung has really got it figured out. At this point, if I was to buy another new TV, which might go on that wall right there, just to fill the space more than anything, I might have to go with Samsung. Of course, I'm watching what LG's doing too, because LG's working hard to bring internet connected apps as well. But we'll see. But anyway, the Galaxy Tab will be available in the United States in time for the holiday shopping season, but will require you to buy a data plan. So just updates on that. For those of you that are aviation buffs, man, you're going to love this. View near real-time flights over the United States in Google Earth. This is really cool. I'm an aviation buff. I'm a geek. I love this stuff. But really what you can do is Google's teamed up with the folks at FlightWise.com, and they're publishing a new dynamic file of commercial flights in the United States. And you can basically see the flight path of the aircraft and the specific call sign. And this is really cool. It really is. And it updates every few minutes from the FAA. So if you want to, you know, if you got a husband or a wife or a girlfriend or somebody in the air and you want to track them real time, you can do it. So very, very cool stuff here with Google Earth. They just keep on rolling out cool stuff. All right, real-time news curation, the complete guide part two. And this is over at the masternewmedia.org website. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about how we're getting news and information. And I thought this, you know, Robin's team really obviously is following trends of what people are talking about. And so if you're a curator of news and information, kind of like I am, they've got a great article here, and it's a multi-pager, lots of, you know, nice little graphics and links to a variety of different website. And one thing I found here that was interesting is automatic filtering is not curation. It says, once you start aggregating content, it does not take much time to realize that once you apply even some of the basic filtering to it, you're going to drown inside it. That's true. And I try to filter a lot, and usually I get junk. But he's got some interviews here and talking about human creation and machine aggregation and dealing with spam and new tools that are out there. So I'll have this link up in the show notes. This is a good read. It's a little deep here for the majority of us. But if you are into digging into news and content, this is a great source of information for you. Let's talk just a little bit about LTE. LTE's coming, and really, in my opinion, it can't come fast enough. Today, I was out of the house all day, away from the office. I was working remotely, and I started off the morning on my Sprint EVDO card, and man, the connection just sucked. Today, for some reason, it just was horrible. So, okay, I got Verizon cards. I reached down, and I pulled the Verizon EVDO card out, plugged that in. Its bandwidth sucked. I don't know what's going on, but they must have had an issue today in the location I was at, because both Sprint and Verizon, horrible. I mean, it was so painful. And then I'm looking for a hot Wi-Fi hotspot. Couldn't find one of those when you need one. Thinking, where's the closest Starbucks I can go to, or McDonald's, because McDonald's has got Wi-Fi here. But, you know, who wants to go work out of McDonald's? Ugh. You know, first of all, makes me want to puke just thinking about it. And, you know, at least Starbucks, you smell coffee instead of greasy cheeseburgers. But anyway, so LTE is fast coming, and there's some research studies been done, and a new report is saying that mobile carriers are going to spend nearly $117 billion by 2014, up 41% from 2009 spending of $83 billion on last-mile backhaul, including line leasing, new equipment spending, and spectrum acquisition. And according to a well-regarded wireless analyst, during the first half of 2010, average U.S. consumers were consuming nearly 230 megabytes a month of wireless data, up nearly 50% from the year, from basically a year before, with nearly 31% of the United States customers using smartphones. Demand for data is going to keep rising so much so that March of 2010, we know that data surpassed voice traffic on mobile networks. So what we've got here really is we're killing them. You know, we need more bandwidth and they don't have it. And LTE is the path to some ease of the pain, but they're going to have to spend a lot of money to get there. So I don't think they're ever going to keep up. I really don't. You know, look how much I'm using my iPad when I'm mobile. Man, I really have started to use that thing a lot. Between being able to email, Facebook, check Twitter, do web stuff, just, you know, all the basics except for any, I can even go to Google Docs if I need to. It's, you know, it's pretty complete. And I'm not gaming. If I have to do a Excel spreadsheet or something like that, that's a little bit of a trouble because I don't like using the spreadsheet in Google Docs. And, but I find myself when I'm out of the house opening up my laptop less and less. Now I want to tell you guys a little story about what happened to me. Of course, my wife had her surgery on Tuesday, so I got her home here about noon. I had to leave to go back, and my kids got out of school at 1:15. What's up with that? What's up with schools getting over on a Tuesday at 1:15? Someone needs their head examined. But anyway, so I'm there to pick up my son, and he's got swimming practice about 25 minutes later. So he's changing in the back of the car, and he said, "Come on, Dad, let's go. And so I grabbed the iPad and I go to the pool with him, and all the 7 and 8 year olds are in this group level 5, so my kids can really swim. So my kids in a level 5 swim class, and he's there with the 7 and 8 year olds, and so you know they're kind of doing their thing, they're over chatting. So I, you know, nonchalantly pull out my iPad and flip it open, and I'm gonna check email. And the first kid comes up and he says, "Is that an iPad?" I said, "Yes, it is." And he said, "Do you have zombies loaded on it?" I'm like, "What's zombies?" "Oh, the zombie game. I play the zombie game on my dad's iTouch." I said, "No, I don't have zombies on there." And he says, "Can you load it?" And by this time, like 20 kids are around me looking at the iPad. And I'm asking you guys, I'm asking the kids, you know, how many of you, your mom and dads have an iPhone or an iTouch or an iPad? And about 3/4 of them, you know, said they did. And the one kid kept asking me about, you know, loading a zombie game on there. And I said, you know, I kind of played with him a little bit. And I said, I don't need to play the zombie game because there's zombies close to my house. And, you know, I get this look, you know, this look of what's he talking about? I said, "Yeah, there's a graveyard really close. You know, that's where zombies come from." I said, do you guys have any zombies or any graveyards near your home?" And they're all looking at one another. And the one kid says, "I do." And of course, now I'm starting to see parents watch, right? Because I got all these kids around me. And I said, "Have you seen any zombies?" So there's always one kid that's in the group. He said, "Come on, you're kidding." I said, "Yes, of course I'm kidding. I'm just joking with you guys." And I high-fived the kid. And all the kids had this kind of like, whew, you know, but I had them sucked right in, but it kind of diverted their attention from the iPad, which I closed. And then I said, "You guys are going to need to get in the water, you know, get with the instructor." Steve Jobs has done one heck of a job. Apple is guaranteed to do billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of sales in the future because I had 7 and 8 year olds gathered around me wanting to play the zombie game on my iPad, and they did not care about anything else. One of the other kids had one of those other games, a Nintendo or something to that effect. They didn't want to look at that. They wanted to look at the iPad. And I just kind of sat back there for a second. I Twittered about it. There is no doubt in my mind that when they say that the iPhone, iTouch, and iPad are now becoming the number one gaming platforms, I have no doubt in my mind a group of 7 and 8 year olds convinced me in 3 minutes. They did everything. No analyst can ever tell me ever again, unless Apple totally screws up, they're going to sell multiple billions and trillions of dollars worth of gadgets to all these kids. When these kids grow up, they're going to buy Apple. Microsoft is totally, they got to get their game together. They have to make up time in a hurry. So anyway, how does this relate back to the LTE thing? These kids are wanting to play multiplayer games. They're talking about it already. Yours needs a lot of bandwidth. Is going to be for all these upcoming kids, and the kids are already using them, and adults and everything else. It's going to be insane. I promise you. I absolutely promise you that. So I'm trying to scroll down here so I can see what's going on in the chat room. But anyway, very, very cool. All right, let's go ahead and move on here. Let's talk about Time Warner for just a second. Good article over on New TV, newtv.com. It's a giga owned property. And really what they're saying is Time Warner Cable really hates online video, and they are upset at a new cable channel called Epix. Apparently, Netflix signed a billion-dollar deal with this company called Epix, which is a little more than a year old, and has backing and content from Viacom, Lionsgate, and MGM. Now, you guys know, when you are going to the movie theater, you see, or have a pay-per-view, you see Lionsgate, Viacom, MGM. You know, those are three big, huge movie houses. So this billion-dollar deal that Netflix did over 5 years with Epix gives them distribution rights of over 3,000 movie titles. Now, Time Warner's basically said, we're not doing a deal with them. They made their bed. They're sleeping with Netflix. There's no way we're going to run Epix on Time Warner. We don't want to do a deal with them. So here's the thing. Those of you that are on Time Warner, call Time Warner and tell them you want Epix. Start calling them. Call them tomorrow. You don't know. I don't care if you don't know what the channel is, and start complaining that they don't have Epix, and see if it makes a difference. Because Time Warner's miffed, and they're punishing this network for making this deal with Netflix. It means we're winning, folks. We're winning. Of course, if you're not a Netflix customer, you've lost. But at the same time, bold move by Netflix. Hey, remember that direct message you sent to your girlfriend, your wife, that you or you know, someone, the business partner that you don't want seen by anybody else? Do you know that your apps with the new OAuth authorization system that was employed a couple weeks ago by Twitter essentially allows those apps to pull in that data, and it sets on their servers? An individual did some research, says that many people use direct messages, private communication channels, but any app that has read-write access can read all of your DMs, something that might be a concern for certain users. If you authorize a full read-write access to a malicious app, or someone gets hold of your token that gives an app permission, they could send malicious links through your account or even delete all your messages. This would include services that auto-publish to Twitter without asking you or without making it obvious that they're going to do so, such as Twificency, which recently caused some backlash by auto-tweeting on a user account when they signed up for the service. So they say that Twitter's got some work to do here and need a little more customization with their permissions. It kind of makes you go, doesn't it? Because there's DMs that I don't want no one to see. Because, you know, I send, hey, we just made a deal with so-and-so, or we just signed so-and-so, or I'm having problems with so-and-so, or can you believe so-and-so did that? You don't want those DMs to be public, right? So be careful. Hey, I found a great article on smashingmagazine.com, and this is really only going to appeal to the geeks out there and designers. But there's an iPhone app design that iPhone apps are being reviewed on Smashing Magazine. And it's actually, let me read the first part of this article. And this is, again, smashingmagazine.com. Says, some time ago, I started an app design review section on our company's website. The idea behind the Crit board, and I guess that's at, I'll have to put the link up in the show notes. where developers could send their mobile apps along with the questions and problems that they were having. And this company would free of charge review the design and code and then post publicly recommendations of their findings. And when I was looking through this, I was like, oh my goodness, this is some cool stuff that they were, you know, basically they've looked at some apps and they've criticized and made notes and, you know, published this stuff all publicly. And I think this is awesome. I think it really is because it helps designers that aren't afraid to have some outside, you know, outside look at an app to determine whether or not it didn't make sense or not. Now, I guess this is actually being done by Smashing Magazine as I go through this here. But this really goes into, you know, what these, you know, this review and a peer review of an app. And it's cool. It really, really is. Now, the risk you run in this is that someone's going to steal your idea. But I know Tom is still working on our Geek News Central iPhone app. And he's telling me that he's underway working on it again because he had some other projects he was doing that took priority over it. But I'm thinking about submitting the Geek News Central iPhone app for critique and review. Maybe we'll send it in and apply for, you know, the app to be listed, but at the same time, we'll send it over here to this board and have them tear it apart, and maybe we can come up with some new ideas on how to really make it better. How many of you have got a Canon Vixia? Now, I told you guys I was trying one, and I've got a Canon Vixia HFM30 here. It's going to be used to replace this camera when the TriCaster comes. And boy, that something happened. That camera got moved. But anyway, we're going to use this camera in its place. And I've got a pro camera in there right now. So the difference of price is huge. But I was reading up on this particular camera, and it talks about the AVCHD.MTS, or basically .MTS files. And on Jake Ludington's website at jakeludington.com, a person asked, how do you get AVCHD formatted MTS files onto YouTube? And Jake does a great job going into how that can be accomplished. And, you know, when I was misled a little bit. I thought this particular camera did regular MP4 M4Vs, and it doesn't. But the standard on this is a H.264 standard, but you still have to convert it to make it available for YouTube, which is really kind of a bummer from my perspective, because there's really no direct path to YouTube or other publishing services. But are you using MTS, and how's your experience been with it so far? Love to hear your feedback at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, those of you that are using Gmail, over on the official Gmail blog, and this is a blog that was submitted by one of our listeners of the show as a great site to get information. If you've been using the, oh boy, that didn't load. Let me try that again. Copy, and then we'll go paste and go, and we'll load that up. Those of you that have been using the Priority Inbox, there's some great tips on this site on basically 5 tips for using Priority Inbox. And they go through and show you how to really train the system, how to set up overrides. And there's a number of great things here to go through on this article. It's a must read for any of you using Gmail and Priority Inbox. That'll give you some insight on how to really get the most out of it. And another great link. Hey, NASA is doing some cool testing. You know, it's always been dreamt about that we would be able to get an airplane. And in Detroit or in Honolulu and, you know, be accelerated to a certain extent and get high enough in the atmosphere that we'd have like in a 1 hour or 2 hour flight time to, you know, the other side of the world. So NASA is doing some testing on a revolutionary launcher that could improve mass transit systems, boost astronaut applications, and really speed up point-to-point travel. And it's using a commuter rail system to essentially get vehicles up to a certain velocity. basically, it's kind of like a super boost, and you are, you know, you're strapped in this thing, and they kick it down the track, and you get to some predetermined speed before they cut you loose, and then whatever internal propulsion system that the aircraft that you're flying in gets you there in a hurry. Now, I would love to see this thing in action. But, you know, we're talking about some seriously out-of-this-world devices at this point. But, you know, they've got some mock-up gears, and it's really, you know, it's at this point, the it looks like an SR-71 on this launch pad. But obviously, this is not the scale. This is about as big as probably you know, about the size of a door on a car is how big this thing is. But you just think about the applications there and where NASA is going. You got to give those guys credit for thinking outside the box. You really, really do. They've been able to do some amazing things in the past. I wouldn't put it past them to be able to do this. Hey, Don Dodge, of course, is working over at Google, and he has, at this time, some very good articles on interview questions and the hiring process at Google. For any of you that are really looking for a new job and working with a tech company, Google probably has the most extensive vetting process available. And he talks about the actual process and the basically how you go through their steps. And this is a good read for anyone that is looking for a job, anyone that's hiring someone, and the vetting process that they do is significant. You know, there are some questions that I've never been asked is your SAT score, your college GPA, because usually that's, you know, they go get that records from your college, and they go into all the different steps. So this is really cool. It's a good article by Don Dodge. He's got a second one here, too. That I'm going to link right in the next link in the show notes, talking about how to get accepted at Stanford or Harvard or how to get a job at Google or Facebook. So these kind of tie together. So it's a two-part series he wrote back to back, and I have the link up in the show notes for you on that. Hey, the Logitech Google TV box is coming on September 29th with a $299 price tag. I think we all knew that was going to be priced at $299. So here's the question I got for everyone tonight on the show. Are you guys going to go and buy the Logitech Google TV, or are you going to wait? Are you going to go and pick up this as soon as it's available? You know, I'm torn, because this device is going to sit between your set-top box and your television, and it's going to have to interact with your set-top box through an IR connection. $300 is quite a bit. You know, think about it. $300 for this, or if you're going to be replacing a TV, some of the Samsung TVs with the internet connected stuff in it was like $900. So, of course, it doesn't have Google TV built in, or you can go with a Sony device later if you're a Sony television fan. So I'm just kind of curious what you guys are going to do. For those of you who are on Dish Network, appears that they're going to be offering subscribers a much better deal, one box per house at $179. And of course, that's because you're a subscriber, you're going to probably have to, you know, commit for a couple of years or something like that. But we'll see. We'll see how this turns out. And I almost cannot buy one. I almost have to get one just to talk to you guys about it. So if you're going to get one, let me know. I'd love to hear some additional feedback from all of you, but that's going to be coming here in 13 days. It's going to be available. So it's right around the corner. It really, really is. All right, the NASA Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter has gotten a new moon mission. Of course, it's been up there for a couple of years mapping the moon. And actually, I got a link here to some of the digital stuff that they've been able to put together from that Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. But now they're going to be changing the mission up, and it's going to be gathering a lot more detailed information. They're going to be focusing on specific areas, and they don't go too much into detail what those new missions are, but we'll see. It's basically they're saying, and this is kind of the wide quote, that the new mission phase will focus on answering specific research questions than on broad exploration. The probe will continue to map the moon for 2 to 4 more years, they added. And the official start of LRO science phase should write a new and intriguing chapter in lunar research. Well, we'll see. And they're asking the next question, where should we go on the moon if we go back? And that's a question being asked. You guys remember that Galaxy 15 satellite that went rogue? Well, it's still rogue. It's still transmitting. It still has power. They're still diverting satellites in and around its orbit. And this zombie satellite is still getting power to its batteries from the sun, and they don't know when this thing's going to quit. quite frankly, I think it's going to take a piece of space debris or something to hit it to tilt its orbit a little bit enough to get it so it doesn't get very much sunlight and shuts it down. But it's continuing to affect a variety of different communication satellites out there. And we'll keep you advised. Now, here's this. I should have had this linked right up with the LRO article. That's what I get for not pre-planning. So I actually got started tonight a little late on getting the show prepped. But here is the here's the moon map, and this is pretty cool. And it goes into how they're see that nice big ad that just popped up there. Let me close this here. Okay, is it going to let me close it? No. Oh boy, you gotta love Wired. If you guys, those of you that are listening, what's happened here is there's a huge, huge advertisement that is taking up 3/4 of the page. It just drives me insane. Of course, there's no place here to close. Oh, there maybe. Okay, can I close it there? Oh, isn't that nuts? You guys can see the ad here. See, that's what happened. I hovered over it too long. So let's stay away from that. Anyway, the moon crater moon crater map reveals early solar system history. This is an article over on Wired. I have this up in the show notes for you to check out. And so anyway, that'll be there when you have a chance to take a look at it. Lawsuit is targeting mobile advertisers over sneaky HTML5 pseudo cookies. Apparently, a New York mobile web advertising site was tracking people to the extent where if you cleared the cookies and did every all times of cash dumping on a variety of mobile devices and the iPad, it still tracked you. It was and basically a lawsuit's been filed to say, hey, you're really being invasive. So we'll see what happens with this, if this goes anywhere, and if they shut these guys down and make them change their practices. This ought to scare you a little bit. You know, Big Brother watching. Well, a Google engineer has been fired, and this is what really is scary. An older, and they don't state his age, but an adult Google engineer fired has been fired for spying on teenagers' Gmail accounts, Google Voice accounts, and a variety of other things. Google states, we dismissed David Barksdale for breaking Google's strict internal privacy policies. We carefully control the number of employees who have access to our systems, and we regularly upgrade our security controls. For example, we are significantly increasing the amount of time we spend auditing our logs to ensure those controls are effective. That said, a limited number of people always need to access these systems if we're to operate them properly, which is why we take any breach so seriously. That means Google can look in our stuff, folks. That means he can just log into our accounts and snoop around. I think we all knew that. Any system administrator has ways in. This is pretty alarming that this was possible despite of all of Google's claims of security. Does this not make you nervous? Now, they caught this guy, they fired him, but you have an engineer who met some teenagers, this is the rest of the story, who then started tracking what they were doing on their accounts, talking about their girlfriend. He actually took that information and used it against them. I'm not going to say that this guy has some tendencies of one way or the other, but it makes you go, oh, doesn't it? I'm sure we're going to hear more about this kind of stuff as years go on, but it doesn't make me feel very good. And Google needs to figure out how to keep these nosy individuals, because people are prone to snoop no matter what. Keep these nosy individuals out, especially this kind of scourge that would do that. We get enough predators out there already. We really do. Enough nasty individuals that are doing nasty things. And then you hear about someone that's working internally who's an engineer doing the same stuff. You can't tell. It bothers me. It really, really does. And I've got so much stuff tonight, we're not going to get through it all. Is publishing a magazine and website about a sports team infringing? Well, apparently, if you want to do a magazine or a website about Ohio State sports teams, you better stand by because Ohio State's going to say, you can't do her. You can't talk about our teams. You can't write about our teams. You can't create a program guide. You can't do, because you're not licensed to do so. Ohio State has successfully obtained a temporary restraining order against a company that was seeking to publish a magazine and a website devoted to Ohio State sports. How can they do this? This is a freedom of press issue. Instead of welcoming the additional coverage as a form of homage and considering how a second set of websites and magazines could intensify public interest and thus help promote the University of Ohio went to court complaining of the defendant's attempt to rip off Ohio State Sports Enterprise, the university protested that it had just started to license out the right to publish sports programs instead of doing such publications in-house, and if an outsider could publish programs without permission, the value of this licensing would be reduced. Huh? If I want to write a program guide and put it up on the internet for the University of Hawaii on my own and do my own research and not take any of their data, I should be able to do that. There should not be anything stopping me from doing so. But according to the court, the court says the price of creating a major franchise, that is the main interest of the populace of a large state. And as that team becomes a legitimate topic of public conversation, basically, he goes on to say they're allowed to do this. Claiming that such a magazine would infringe on Ohio State's trademark. This is bad. This is bad news. If you're an Ohio State alumni, you need to get on the phone. All right. Do you know you can trademark your name? Apparently a woman has done that. We're going to say her name here. Dr. Ann D. West Allen. Dr. Ann D. West Allen has trademarked her name and doesn't allow anyone to use her name. Dr. Ann D. West Allen is a federally registered trademark. It is illegal to use the name Dr. Ann D. West Allen on any website or document without prior written permission. So Dr. Ann D. West Allen's name is probably going to be in our show notes tonight. She goes even so far to say that she has posted the cease and desist letters her lawyers will send you if you do that. So the folks over at TechDirt use her name about 20 times. How can someone trademark their name? Give me a break. Insane. Now, what do you guys think about that? Dr. Ann D. W. E. E. S. Allen. Okay. Anybody? Dr. Ann D. E. W. E. E. S. Allen. So if you guys want to tweet that, feel free to do so. Oh, my God. Gosh, she says no one can use my name. Let's go over to ubicomp.cswashington.edu. They've developed a new sensor node utilizing power line infrastructure, and this is pretty cool. It's a sensor that uses 65 microwatts to basically communicate over power lines. It consumes less than 1 milliwatt of power when transmitting 65 microwatts on the 27 megahertz range. And for those of you that know what 65 microwatts is, that's awful small. And they're putting that over power lines. And they're going to use these for devices to communicate with what's going on in their homes. It's really cool. It really is. But it's pretty remarkable that it's that low, and it couldn't be. I just, no interference. But very, very interesting. Hey, Netflix has some statistics about its users showing that more than 1% of its customer base has rated 5,000 shows or more. Can you rate 5,000 shows? Are you that much of a movie nut to go through and actually, you know, rate each of those shows? Who has that kind of time? Is that like a compulsive obsession type of behavior to go through and rate? I never rate a movie. Who has time to rate a movie? The folks at PC World are asking, why is broadband so expensive? Everything else has come down. How come broadband prices continue to go up? talking about Moore's Law and how broadband has not been affected. 2 to 3% decrease is what we've seen over the last 10 years, folks, on our internet prices. Mine hasn't went down. Mine's only went up. Okay, I have just a stack of stuff here. I'm talking about Yahoo. I'm not going to get into about a new residential solar company coming to Hawaii. That's pretty cool. I'll put a link up in the show notes about that. There's a good article about Best Buy and how iPad sales are hammering notebook. Basically, iPad is ruling on the notebook sales side. Basically, their notebook sales are in a tailspin. We'll talk about Apple and a newspaper subscription system they're going to be coming out with. I continue to have advancements of Android gaining on Apple. Some information about the XPRIZE winner. I just got too much stuff here for tonight. Let me see if there was anything that is super critical that I would need to cover. I'm not going to even put most of these up in the show notes. We already talked about that. If you're a JP Morgan user, you may have known you couldn't get into your bank account for 2 or 3 days. Well, they had some problems. They're not really being forthcoming on what it was, but they said it was a third party. For those of you that haven't seen the new Twitter.com, I'll put up a visual tour that was made by the folks over at Computer World. Of course, IE9 beta is available. If you want to download that, go check it out. And their goal with the new IE9 client is to cut browser clutter. And Google's claiming that they're going to be getting up to 60 times speed boost for Chrome 7. So I have that article for those of you that are hardcore Chrome, Google Chrome users, which I'm becoming. I don't need to go into that. It's kind of dumb. We won't talk about that. And I think that's one can skip too. And skip that. So anyway, there was about 10 there that I just dumped. And but anyway, thanks guys and gals for hanging out with me. It's been fun. I've got a voicemail here to go into. And then we'll get into the actual emails that have come in. I haven't previewed this, so let me see what we've got in the voicemail. If you want to send a voicemail on the show, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. Email is geeknews@gmail.com. Here comes the first hotline call on the show.
Hi, Todd. This is Allison from HP.
Can't play that. I should have reviewed that. That was Allison from HP. That's all I can say about that. my bloggers will know who she is. So anyway, we got some good stuff coming from you for you next week from stuff that is under embargo from HP. So I don't know why she called that line, but definitely didn't want to play any more than we had played there. Allison, don't call the hotline with information that probably should not be heard before it's release time, okay? I got an email here from Craig. He's out of Bristol, UK. He says, Todd, just wanted to give you a quick note on the update on the UK's development of digital rights, aka anti-piracy bill, set to be law next year. This is an article over on the Guardian website, guardian.co.uk, talking about illegal downloads in the music industry. I'll have that link up in the show notes. And hey, Craig, I saw you sent that from your iPad. Very cool. Got an email here from Alex. He says, hey, Todd. And he basically was asking if he signed up for the Insider. Would he receive the previous Insiders? Yes, you will. And got an email here from Jim. He says, hey, Todd, some pretty cool pictures. Thanks to Boston.com's The Big Picture. And I always love these. Let me see if I can actually bring this up. And we can show this real quick before the end of the show. And I'll bring these over on the... I haven't actually loaded these from Jim. We'll let them load while I'm going into... Oh, man, I can already see these are cool. So, Jim, thanks for that. I'm actually going to show the crew before we sign off tonight those pictures. Those are watching on video. And I got an email here from Christopher. He said, hey, Todd, I remember you saying you're a pencil fan. Thought you would enjoy this gadget. Oh, that's very interesting. We normally don't get calls this type of night here. So we'll see how many rings it takes my lovely wife to answer the phone. We've made it to 3, 4. The answer machine will pick up. See, that's the beauty of a live show here, folks. It she got it in 3, so made it before the answer machine answered. But anyway, thanks for sending me this link over on Uber Gizmo, Chris, on be creating pencils from paper waste. We'll have to check that out. All right, for the pictures that were on the on Boston.com, The Big Picture. Let me bring this. Oh, these are cool. So let me bring these up. obviously that's the sun, and obviously that's the moon. And this is a Earth and Moon from afar from the NASA Messenger spacecraft. That's pretty cool. I've never seen a picture like that. You guys got to see this. When you guys go to the show notes, this is a really cool picture. I have never seen that representation of Earth and the moon. Very, very cool. Obviously, this one here is a setting of a crescent moon, basically seen on, I think I've seen this picture before. And another one is the Earth kind of in black and white from the NASA Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. What is this one? This is Torino, Italy. Yeah, this is a nice one. Oh, the Aurora Borealis. Or this is the Aurora Australis, seen from the Earth. This is probably, I didn't know they had southern lights. Very, very cool. Stonehenge. What else? Big chunk of glacier. Photo taken by the International Space Station of Italy. You can clearly see the shoe. Super typhoon, a hurricane. Very, Hurricane Danielle. And then a nice, oh man, this is a cool crater, a pit in the moon. Man, I wonder what made that impact. That's kind of a weird one. It's like someone dug a hole down there. Some more moon pictures, more craters, an asteroid picture, sand dune on Mars, more Mars pictures. The rover. Oh, that is just cool. Well, there's more of these. We'll just leave these for you guys to look at online. But I think that just says it all. Look at that picture. I love that. That's my new. That's going to be my new background picture for sure. This is from NASA JPL. It was taken on August 4th, 2010. That has got to be one of the coolest pictures I have seen in a very long time. Very, very cool. So anyway, have this link up in the show notes. It'll be underneath the listener submitted links. If you've got something for the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is where you can send me cool links like this. I thank everyone for sending that those types of stuff to me. Jim, you hit the jackpot on that one, my friend. And thanks for keeping an eye on Boston.com's The Big Picture. If you have voicemail comments tonight about the show or hotmail comments, 619-342-7365. Hey, the show continues here in Hawaii. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Definitely think about coming out to Blog World and joining me. That'll be a great opportunity for you to do so. Also, don't forget that GoToMeeting is one of our sponsors here. And, hey, give GoToMeeting a try. Do a 30-day free trial by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. You guys know that I love using this application. It's a daily app that I use. It'll save you a lot of time, a lot of money. You'll find all kinds of uses for it that you never thought you would. Give that a 30-day trial. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. And it's on me here at Geek News Central, and thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor of the show. I was actually supposed to run that ad about 30 minutes ago. So I won't be able to claim credit for that one on the runs because I put it in the wrong spot. But everyone, thanks for being here. Take care, and we'll see you on the next show. And we'll be live here in Honolulu Monday night at 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. And, of course, you can always get the show downloaded first thing Tuesday morning. And then the video portion of the show usually comes out Tuesday afternoon, Eastern time. So everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.